Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Never led the league in touchdowns or home runs.
Touchdown, Poirier! Is homered in his first at bat at Fenway Park.
But they lead Boston in butchering the English language.
The DAC will be stacked against those guys as well.
The emphasis hair doctor of Christian Fourier.
Promo code WI.
Merlone and Fourier.
On WEEI.
All right, welcome back to Merlone and Fourier. We're down here at the Bullpen Kitchen and Tap right across from Fenway Park, getting you ready for this game. Come on by and say hi. We got to dive into the weekend a little bit. I want to kind of take a look at Game 3 here, but first, we got to take a look at how you got here in the first place. You walked out of Houston, 1-1, and there was Friday, it was amazing. There was so much emotion coming out of Friday's game. Yeah, and into Saturday, and it's almost like you forgot that you lost 5-0 down to Tampa in Game 1. And this one here was a good baseball game where basically your guys just sort of let you down. But the big conversation, Christian, was, you know, Chris Sale, you know, starting Game 1. That was a big discussion until we found out, no, I think we found out on Thursday, and it was a mistake. No, it's the right move. Is it a mistake? And the way I looked at it, I actually talked to Kenny Curtis over the weekend on Saturday morning, and I'm like, you know, Alex got away with it. Like, it worked. You know, it worked. I mean, you got into the sixth inning up 3-1. You know, and Hauk gave it up. I mean, that's the story to me. But I thought Chris Sale went out there, gave you 2 2/3. Is it ideal? No. But he looked a hell of a lot better than he looked at Tampa the week prior.
See, we were teasing on Friday that is he the opener or the starter? It felt like he was treated as an opener. I believe that this was the plan all along. People are giving him a hard time. Oh, you know,
two and two-thirds.
No, I think 3 innings was the goal. You give me 3 innings, limit the damage as much as possible. He gives you 2 2/3. Ottavino comes in. He bails your ass out because you got two men on second and third. But you still, when you leave, it's only one run.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, fine. This isn't something crazy. And I point to this, Lou, because I think this kind of is like telling. He comes off the mound, and everybody is going crazy. He's high-fiving everybody like he just won the World Series, like he just pitched 6 shutout innings.
Yeah.
He didn't. To me, you would say, oh, they're just being supportive. They're just kind of – they got his back. No, this is Chris Sale. Chris Sale doesn't want any condescending, passive-aggressive, like, oh, attaboys on his back. He doesn't want that. Which leads me to believe that this was the plan all along. I come off the mound. I don't pitch great. And to me, that was a burdensome – stressful.
Yeah.
Oh my God, is this ever going to end? You could tell that it wasn't quite working, but he was grinding it out and he was trying to limit the damage as much as possible. And ultimately he did. So their plan, I think, worked. I believe Cora's plan was 3 innings max,
you know,
no matter what.
It's a great point. I didn't even think about it until you kind of brought it up before the show, but it really does make sense. Because I noticed that Chris Sale comes out in the first inning, he's throwing 96-97.
Yeah.
And the only time I see 96-97, you know, with him before, when he was actually going 5 innings before his last 2 or 3 outings, was that final inning when he knows this is it.
Yep.
Right? The FU fastballs. We've heard about these things when he came back from Tommy John. And 96, I'm like, wow, he's got a good fastball. He's letting this thing eat a little bit. Now, he still doesn't have his changeup, but it makes sense to where it's like, hey, listen, don't try to give me five. Yeah. Don't come up here with 93,
don't ration,
94.
Don't ration your pitches.
Because here's the
pitches.
Thing. You can't pitch right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can throw, but you can't pitch. You can't locate your fastball like you have in the past. You don't have your changeup to get him off your fastball and to get him out front and execute it. You know, your slider isn't as great as it once was. So I want you to throw for four innings, three innings. Just throw.
Yeah.
Throw the ball hard. Let it eat a little bit. Pump fastballs up and in, which is what he did. And he threw sliders. He kind of lived with two pitches, you know, for three innings. And that's a very good lineup, but it kind of makes sense what you're saying.
And think about it, because why hold back?
No.
Like, what are you saving it for? Get out there and just give me all you got. And to me, the telling sign is how everybody approached him when he was done. It wasn't a great performance.
Yeah.
It wasn't. So are you going to attaboy him?
Well,
are
you know he's pissed walking off the mound.
He's
normally,
angry.
Right?
Yeah, no, and he wasn't. He was like proud of it, because I think the challenge was, man, I don't even know if I can give you three, but I'm going to do my best. So when he came out after 2 2/3 and then everyone's high-fiving him, like, he had accomplished something. Like, what did he accomplish?
Well,
like, what did he do? Because we're all thinking he should go five. He's got to give you five.
Yeah.
He didn't.
And those guys in the morning, you know, Ken and Curtis, they're talking about, like, you know, that it didn't work, that it backfired, that they lost the game, that this was the reason why they lost.
Not because of Sale.
And I'm like, you know, it's not – if Sale went out there and gave you, like he did in Tampa, and gave up five in the first, and you never recovered and lost 5-4, then you can have this discussion. But I put it this way. If Nate Eovaldi started game one, which is what everybody wanted, and Nate gave you five, and you were up 3-1 going into the sixth, what's the difference?
What is the difference?
What's the difference?
Yeah, it's, you know what it is?
Tanner Houck still gave it up.
Yep.
He threw a cement mixer to Altuve. And then Robles, another guy you're counting on, hung a changeup up and in to Correa. And you're down and you lose the ball game. It wasn't because you started Sale. And you could argue, well, you used Taylor and Ottavino and these guys, Brazier, to get there. Whatever. It was set up. It was Houck for probably two, but he couldn't get through one. And then it was Robles, and it could have been Whitlock for two easily at the end of that game if you still had the lead. But the guys you relied on gave it up. That's why you lost, because of what Houck and Robles did. It wasn't because he started Chris Sale. He gambled, and it worked.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, if the postseason has showed us anything, is that your old-school traditional way of approaching, like, that doesn't exist. Nobody does that anymore. Like, and that's why I sit there and I go, I'm looking at the signs. I'm like, no, this was his plan all along. Like, it worked. So what does it matter how you get there? But people look at Chris Sale and they say, well, Chris Sale's got to go five innings. The Chris Sale I know has got to be dominant. He was so focused and he was pissed. He just needed to get to three. And I think that he was fearful that he wasn't going to get into the third inning.
Mm.
I think he was actually nervous about it with the last mound visit, that Alcor. It was definitely a burden.
Yeah, no,
I did not think he was going to get through.
It was a struggle.
But he did.
The other thing I want to bring up from that game was, did you see the video I put up there with the ball boy gate?
Yes, I did. That's my job. That's what I want to do.
What do we do with the ball boy? I don't know if you guys have seen this or not, but I put it on Twitter. So in that third inning when the Red Sox scored three runs, bases loaded, Renfro with a double down the line, and it gets by the third baseman. They got this ball boy position. Now, you know where the ball girl is at Fenway Park, right? Because you always say you want it. So it's
that's what I want to do.
You know, that straight line down the left field, but it kind of, you know, just past third, it indents a little bit more towards that dugout. They got the same setup in Houston, only they put their ball boy right down the line. So it's like his stool is basically in foul territory. Right to his left is the fair ball line. And rather than being completely out of play, so this ball gets hit down the line. The ball boy lifts his right foot, and it hits off the stool like a little pinball machine. Hits the wall and pops right out to left field.
Yeah.
Alvarez picks it up, throws it in second and third. Everyone's excited. It's 3-1. Woo-hoo, yeah. Big hit. You know what I mean? But when you look, you say, why did that ball come out that quickly? And in the video I put out there, you can see as clear as day. Hits a stool post and comes back. Now, it's unintentional. There's nothing you can do. Jim Wolf's the umpire saying, puts his hand safe out there because it's not fan interference. But that ball gets down the line. And people say, well, J.D. Martinez is on first. He doesn't run very well. Have you seen Yordan Alvarez play left?
He's as slow as can be.
Holy smokes.
He is so slow.
And if you
he's 6'5". He can't get anything.
No. And if you watch it, he's running to the base. He's running to the foul line. He's playing in the left center. And that ball would have got by him. He would have had to stop, turn a beeline, run straight back to that wall. I think Martinez scores. I think you're up 4-1 instead of 3-1. You never get that run in. You lose by a run.
And they took Alvarez out of left field in this game,
too. He's awful.
Because they sat there and said, holy crap.
He is awful.
He can't be that slow.
He can't run.
It's not even – it's actually comical.
I mean,
felt
he
like
homers.
Oh, great. great. He can't field for the save of his life. The other thing I wanted to ask you is, JD Martinez, if you have a healthy JD Martinez, are you getting more out of him on the base paths? I feel like they're like losing scoring opportunities because he can't run.
I don't know.
I feel like he
errs
still on the side of
guy though.
I know he isn't, but I feel like he's even slower and he's even more cautious now.
Yeah, you're giving
based
something
on, up. But because he's giving up scoring opportunities because I just don't think he thinks he can make it there.
Yeah,
I know he's base to base, but I feel like it's even worse now.
No,
they're losing opportunities because he can't run.
Yeah, and you know that he wasn't going to score because of the way that ball hit the stool and came out the left field. I just don't understand it. You know, in game two they put the guys back there again. Like, I don't get it. Like, I don't get it. Like, hey, watch Fenway Park tonight. Okay, look where the ball girls are down the left field and right field line. Like, that's where they belong. That's completely out of the play. They don't belong down the line. And, oh, by the way, most people that do stand there, when the balls hit down the line, you know what they do? They pick up their cute little stool, and they sprint out in left field and let the ball go flying by them. Like, that's what they all do, but not this kid. This kid lifts his right leg.
I know.
Awesome.
He, like, hopped
over it. I mean, awesome. What are we doing? And I was waiting. I was waiting for an Astro to hit a ball down there and him pick his stool up and run. Because I was going to snap on him. And, oh, boy, did the Astro fans jump on me. The Astro fans, those people are lunatics. They are psychos on Twitter. But I tell you, it was weird because they quieted up on Saturday. I didn't hear a word from any one of them on Saturday. Not one peep. Not one peep. Didn't hear one word from an Astro fan. Still haven't. Still, they're still bitching about me, bitching about game one because they don't even want to talk about game two like it never even happened. All right, speaking of game two, I want to get to that in a little bit in these Red Sox bats because Fourier's still a little concerned.
Oh, you should be
He's
too.
He's still a little bit concerned, and I'm with him because this is what I do. I worry. I worry a lot. I want to get to that game two. We're going to get you ready here for game three as well here tonight. All right, Maloney and Fourier, we are down here at the Bullpen Kitchen and Tap. You're right across from Fenway Park on Jersey Street. Come down, check us out. I don't know. Get lubricated a little bit before this one.
Ooh,
should be a wild night tonight.
Lube it up!
Yeah. All right, Maloney and Fourier, we do it next.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending brought to you by Shaw's. You can celebrate fall with some surf and turf from Shaw's. Now through Thursday, pick up cooked shrimp and your choice of steak for just $6.97 a pound. When you click the digital coupon, choose from beef T-bone or New York strip steak.
Sounds good, Lou.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough word.
Also sounding good tonight is Game 3 of the American League Championship Series. The Red Sox hosting the Houston Astros. An 8:08 first pitch from Fenway Park across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. It's E-Rod against the Houston right-hander Jose Urquidy. Mutt has the pregame starting at 7:08. Then after the game, Brian Barrett with Red Sox Review taking your calls all night here on WEEI.
All night,
you can listen to the game throughout New England on the Odyssey app for iPhone, Android, and as I know Christian Fourier will be listening live on that Odyssey app. The Bruins are off until Wednesday when they go on the road. Can you please stop doing a trending right here? The Bruins are off until Wednesday when they go on the road to Philly. The Celtics open the preseason, the season opener, I should say, on Wednesday in New York City at MSG. The status for Al Horford is still unknown as he tested positive about 10 days ago for COVID-19. Maloney and Fourier is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified. Maloney and Fourier is live from the Bullpen Kitchen and Tap on Jersey Street, brought to you by Budweiser, the Major League beer. We're back after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Lou!
Christian Boomer.
Christian!
Lou.
Christian!
Lou Maloney.
Come on.
For you, Lou Maloney.
Christian.
Lou Maloney.
Christian Fourier.
Lou.
Christian.
Lou.
Christian Fourier.
Anybody want to take that?
Everybody dance. Lose yourself in wild romance. We're going to party. Corona.
Fiesta. Forever.
Come on and sing along.
See, I'm kind of thinking it's more like an Eminem day rather than like
I don't know,
Lionel
like
Richie, right?
You cannot deny
this Dance on My Own, whatever the hell
the
this thing is the Red Sox got going on.
You cannot deny the effectiveness of dancing on the ceiling and Lionel Richie.
I'm down here at the Bullpen Kitchen and Tap. I got a Sox game here in about what? I don't know, 5 hours and I'm going Lionel Richie?
Yeah,
right now?
How
the hell
all
am I going
night,
Lionel Richie right
night
now?
All night long.
What happened was in the trending I mentioned Brian Barrett taking your calls all night long on WEI and Red Sox Review.
Yeah. Started singing
and
all
of course,
night long.
That was like a trigger for Christian.
Yeah.
And he started singing this song.
Oh my God, okay. All right, well, listen, we go all night, it's what we do.
That's right.
All right, Sox, 1-1. Here we go. We got game three. Let's talk about game two a little bit because this thing opened up quickly. Nate Eovaldi on the mound. You felt pretty good. It was kind of like a must win. JD hits a walk-off. I mean, a grand slam in the first. And then you got Devers with another grand slam in the second. Luis Garcia, he leaves the game. We find out that it's a knee issue that's been bothering him all year. You got no Lance McCullers on the roster. Luis Garcia left in after one inning because his knee's bothering him. You know, Framber Valdez lasted, what, 2 2/3 in game two. But still, go back to that first game. Up 8-0. Did you feel comfortable? It was the top of the second, 8-0.
Nope. I look at it this way. You're playing against a really good – you're playing against the Dallas Cowboys. You're playing against the Dallas Cowboys. And you get a punt return. You get a kickoff return. You get an interception for a touchdown. You're up 21-0. You feel pretty damn good about yourself. And then you go ahead and get your own touchdown. So next thing you know, it's 28-0. But it's the Dallas freaking Cowboys. They can come back and score 35 points. Like, you got the point. I feel like they got those runs so early in the game.
I'll take
so
it.
So it's 8-0. I'm
I'll
like, okay, thank you for the nice little cushion. But I had I was not comfortable at all as far as their ability to hold the lead.
Listen, obviously you're going to take an 8-0 lead. You're going to take a 9-0 lead. You'll take it all day long. But to me, I still respect this lineup. They got seven guys that in this lineup, and seven, they go eight, nine, whatever. But McCormick got a little hit there at one point over the weekend, too. But still, they got seven guys that they can just rattle through. They can just, you know, that's it, man. They just pass the torch one guy to the next. They can put a 4-5 spot up on you in a hurry. But with Eovaldi on the mound, I felt pretty good. And it's why he went to Whitlock. And to be honest with you, I think he might have went an inning too long. But I get it. You're down 1-0. You can't mess around. Because now you used him for two innings. You had a day off yesterday, so that's okay. But I'm with you. Because you saw the way it went. 9-3, and you're like, oh, boy, here we go. I mean, they were hit away from making it 9-5 at one point. And you're like, ooh, boy.
Yeah, see, my thing is that it felt a little fluky. okay, it's like never happened before in the postseason, you know, back-to-back grand slams, first inning, second inning.
They only hit one during the regular season all year.
Yeah, so
I they get two in the postseason.
So, and then after that, you really only got one run,
yeah.
And that was from Kiki Hernandez, solo shot, and you're like, okay, well, okay, and you can't muster any other runs the entire time. And they had opportunities to kind of chip away at it, just like they did in game one.
Yep.
So it wasn't nine runs, okay, but, you know, it was, what was it, five runs, but they kept chipping away at it. And then next thing you know, how the hell do they have the tying run at the plate? So that, for me, that's where I was kind of just a little
uneasy. They never had the tying run at the plate, I don't believe.
No, my point is, like, next thing you know, you have a situation where you would have the tying run. It didn't happen. That's not my point.
Yeah.
My point is how easily it would be for them to have the tying run at home plate.
Well, I also think it would have changed some things. You know, I mean, listen, you're up 9-3. You use Whitlock for two to make sure you put this thing. And then you give the ball to Downwardson. You know, and it's like, you know, it makes it 9-5. I mean, I think, you know, you're a hitter away, and then obviously I think you brought in Brazier to kind of close it out. So I felt like it was under control after a while. But if you're asking me in that second inning if I'm thinking eight's enough, I'm feeling pretty good about it. But I had a pretty good idea that they were going to come back and swing it and make it like an 8-4 at some point, 8-3 at some point, and make it a little bit more interesting. I still respect the hell out of this lineup. This lineup knows now that they've got to go out there and they've got to put up eight. The Astros, both lineups,
yeah.
To me. It's just it might be a
yeah.
little bit easier for the Sox given their pitching situation, right? Again, like I mentioned, McCullough's out, Garcia. I don't know who, you know, tonight, Urquidy's like their last real chance for a starter to kind of give them some length that they need. They've used everybody. And this guy, Urquidy, was on the IL in May and missed the entire month of August with shoulder stiffness. So, you know, what are you going to get from him? How many innings are you going to get from him? He hasn't been great in the month of September. So, you know, if you can knock this guy out early, I mean, you saw what Odorizzi was. He's nothing after he finally gets warmed up for 30 minutes. They don't want to go to Greinke. They don't have Hulk Pavetta. Their staff's in serious trouble. And if you pound or
yeah, but Garcia's,
hit a night, trouble.
Garcia's fine. I remember you sent that tweet out after what you thought, because I thought that you thought that Garcia was out for the rest of the postseason. He's not.
No.
So he's fine. So he's going to be pitching.
Well,
so
we'll
it's
see.
Not nearly. Well, and we'll see how effective he is. But the other thing is, like, it's a very weird lineup because you have a guy like Alvarez who's just a monster. Then you have a guy like Tucker who actually looks like he shouldn't be in sports, period.
He
like,
can hit.
He doesn't look like – am I right?
No,
he doesn't
he's
look,
built like me.
He's built like Tyler. He's skinny.
6'1",
there's no,
170.
There's no muscle tone whatsoever.
Yep.
But yet he's raking. Like
yeah,
it just it doesn't it just it, my eyes doesn't make sense to me. But and that's why it's so, I think it's so deceiving. You just have so many different skill sets and so many guys that are just like they're just all vets and they've all been here and they average 7 runs a game.
Yeah, no,
so
they can
eight
hit.
Runs, Lou, is not enough. Like, especially when you get it early. Okay, onslaught is over, guys. That's not gonna happen again. One grand slam, I gotcha, we'll give it to you. Two? Oh, my God, it's unheard of.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing with Kike, it's like you got to – I mean, at some point you got to talk to him about what's going on with this guy because it's absolutely out of control. Let me give you the lineup quick before we
lineup's
break.
Out. Lineup is out.
Thank you, Evan. Back to that right-hander on the mound, Schwarber leading off at first, Hernandez, Kike second, Devers, Bogarts, Verdugo, JD bat sixth, the DHs, Renfro and Wright, Vasquez, Arroyo, Erod on the mound. All right, listen, when we come back, take a look – more into tonight's game. What do you expect out of Erod? Red Sox fans, it's tied 1-1. How confident are you in the rest of this series? 617-779-7937. Thank
better.
You, Ryan.
It's better.
Thank you. More so in the 5 o'clock hour, because that's when I start headbutting some of these polls getting ready for this Wago. All right, we're going to do it next. Take some of your calls. Talk about Game 3. That's next on Maloney and Fourier.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is Marloni and Fourier on WEEI.
I think tomorrow is going to be fun. It's been great the last three here, the wildcard game and the two against Tampa. You feel it around the city. People are into it. They are. You know, we got the Patriots, we got the Celtics, we got the Bruins, we got us this week. And for a city that enjoys sports, and you know, it's kind of like a perfect one. It's fun.
Now the sports, talking about the atmosphere tonight. You know, the other thing to forget about, not to forget about, is like Fenway Park has been amazing this postseason, but more so than we've talked about, way more louder than say 2018, even 13. I got to go all the way back to like 03, 04 in these Yankee series since you've seen Fenway Park the way it's been here in this postseason run. You got, and one thing to remember, the most hated team in baseball is coming in here. You know, it's almost like that 03, 04, like you hated the Yankees. Like, you hate this team.
Yeah.
Like, you hate the Yankees because it's the Yankees, right? It's the rivalry, Boston, New York. But really, when you think about as far as hating a roster, or hating a team that gets you under your skin, it's these guys.
Yeah, so they're drinking
these
early.
Guys.
So the whole Correa, it's my time.
It's my time.
That whole thing. How did you feel about that?
I don't mind it.
See, I mean, me neither.
I'm going to let the boys play, whether it's my boys or someone else's boys.
Agreed. I just felt like, you know, there's always like, yo, you know, I'm fine with this, but I'm not fine with that. This is okay, but that isn't acceptable. Like, this is crossing the line. This is just enough. No, if he gets the opportunity, what is the big freaking deal?
Yeah.
Like, he just pimped it. It's my time.
Here's
He's been
like
doing it
see.
Forever.
Here's what I like
Do
to
it
see.
Back to him after
in
you
the,
hit a grand slam.
In the first inning, Kike hits a two-run bomb and stands at home plate and goes, it's actually, you know what? It's actually my time. Like, Kike Hernandez, what he is doing, I read this today. So he's hitting 350 on fastballs, okay, in the postseason. 350, which is good, home run. Against every other pitch, curveball, slider, changeup, split, he's 9 for 12. That's 750 with four home runs. 9 for 12. Like, it's like, you throw me anything off speed, and he is just waylaying right now. So, Correa, we know it's his time, all right? We understand what playoff time is for Carlos Correa. We've seen his whole career, and that's why I respect his game. But right now, it's actually Kike Hernandez's time. With what he's doing. I mean,
yeah,
it is only, off the charts.
And my only thing is that I don't know if he have these numbers, though. A lot of his home runs are either leadoff home runs, nobody on base home runs. It's not like he's got a. It's not like he's driving in a bunch of runs.
No.
I mean, he's getting solo shots. And the only thing, you sit there and go, man, I wish there was somebody on base.
Yeah.
I wish they could, you know, instead of a solo home run, only one run, I sure wish it could have been three.
Yes.
It's almost like you're not taking advantage of how good he is
because
nobody's on base.
You want this place to snap over here across the street, get the offense going. Many times, offense gets baseball rolling. And you got a guy in Urquidy out there who's good, again, dealing with some injuries all year this year. You know, kind of 92, 93, four-seamers up, sliders to righties. But changeups is pitched to lefties. Changeups and curveballs. He's got a very good changeup. But you get to him early. They got one guy in their bullpen that plays a role, and that's Christian Javier, reliever, long guy. Give you two innings. He's outstanding in game one. He's the one guy they have. They don't want to go. I don't know if they can't go to Odorizzi again. They don't want to go to Greinke. They may need to start him. You know, maybe Valdez, you know, starts tomorrow. Just that their pitching is so thin. Like, they have one starter they can rely on here. But there's still four more games potentially after this. You know what I mean? The Red Sox are in a good spot. They used Houck for one inning. They haven't used Pavetta yet. I would imagine Erod goes. One of these guys go behind him.
Pavetta,
They don't use both. One goes behind him, and whoever doesn't comes in and starts tomorrow. Now, who goes behind that guy? I don't know. Maybe that's going to be Nate Eovaldi. Because to me, it's like you talk about Nate coming in here and not throwing. I think he said he might be available today. I don't buy it. Today's not his bullpen day. Tomorrow, he won't throw. For game four, he won't throw a bullpen tomorrow. He might be the guy available, and they might pull the starter crap, right? Give me an inning. Give me an inning and two-thirds. If we're up 2-1, we're going for the jugular, you know, and be ready for game six. I think that's something that that you might see. But this one here should be interesting. I want to go to Sal, if I can, in Rhode Island. Sal, what's up? Did that work? There you go, buddy. Go ahead.
Hey, Lou. I tried to call there on Saturday.
Yeah.
I was listening to Bradford. I saw that same thing you did with the ball boy.
Yeah.
That pissed me the hell off watching that game. And I can't listen to Fox. I got to watch it with you guys playing because those guys are so biased. They didn't make a comment about that.
Nobody talked about it.
Nobody
mentioned
the
word. No.
Nobody mentioned
the
word.
It's like Tony Romo calling a Dallas Cowboys game.
Right? He's not as bad as A-Rod, but he was pretty bad, wasn't he?
Holy
and
cow.
And Nance hates the Pats.
Listen, come on. I'm a Cowboys fan. The Cowboys could have gave them that game. The Patriots didn't want to take it. I won't go there.
I agree.
I'm concentrated on Red Sox right now.
All right, Sal. I got you, buddy.
I was so infuriated. Then I heard you on Saturday, and I was listening to Bradford and those guys, and they had your thing on TV, on the radio, which you had put on. And I was like, I'm calling right now. Then I called the station, and they said, we're not accepting phone calls. I was like, oh, I just wanted to let out my anger because.
I don't get it, Sal. Thanks for the call. Like, I don't get it. And, you know, people, that's the reason. You think that's the reason why you lost crying? I don't know, but. It's 4-1. You know, Cora said, you know, the other day when they asked him going into that game, he's like, yeah, I just saw it today. Gee, I wonder where he saw it. But he's like, I just saw it today. And it was unfortunate, and it sucked. You know, and that was kind of like the reason. But, hey, whatever. They move on. They don't care. But I was just surprised that nothing was said the next day. Like, move the guy. Get his ass out of there. Let's go to our guy, Wally, up in Walpole. Wally, I'm trying, buddy. Go ahead,
boys,
pal. Go ahead.
How we doing today, boys?
All right. I'm doing good.
Hey. Thank God for the Sox team, because I don't know if we could be talking about the Pats and Average Al this week. It would just really be tough, let's be honest.
Average Al might not even be playing, Wally. I'm crushed.
Thank God. Thank God. Anyway, I don't think it's – I'm a little nervous tonight with this matchup. E-Rod, I still have his outing versus the Rays in my head.
Yep.
Or, you know, it's just – the Rays are a strikeout team. Astros, they don't strike out.
Correct.
See him – Cora saying, hey, get me through the lineup maybe once through two innings. I think Pavetta is going to come in. But it's a huge game for him. You need him. But I just don't see him going through this lineup, going three max. I really don't. I think Pavetta is your guy next. And get me through five with those two, and then good luck with the pen. I mean, I really don't see E-Rod dominating like he did his last outing to close out, what, game five versus the Rays.
Yeah.
Well,
and thanks for the call, Wally.
The last two times E-Rod faced the Astros, what, he allowed 12 earned runs on 13 hits, 5 walks over 9 1/3 innings.
That's not bad.
So you feel pretty good about that? But that was 4 months ago.
Right, but this is the reason why we're talking about this. Like I think you take this game today, if you knocked Urquidy out of there early, now, they are scrambling. They don't know what to do in game four. They might bring Framber back on 3 days rest. They don't want to pitch Greinke. Who goes game five? Garcia's got his knee. I know he threw a bullpen, and Dusty Baker said he changed some things mechanically.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude,
did he get
whatever.
A knee replacement? Did he
admitted
get a scope?
That his knee was bothering him all year long. He had to leave after the first inning because his knee's bothering him. Good luck with that in 3 days. So if you can take this game tonight, now all of a sudden they're scrambling. But it's you know, if you drop it, it's not like you've got – bunch of freaking aces waiting in the wings, right? You come back in game four with maybe Pavetta, who everybody loves, you know, in the bullpen with all the emotion, and hopefully he shuts him down, but, you know, he could give it up. And then what's it? It's Chris Sale again in game five. So it can get really hairy because these guys can swing it. This game is enormous because if you can knock Urquidy out of this thing early, man, I don't know where they turn for the next two or three games. Three games in a row now, I don't know what they do. That's going to be a hard one. Let's go to Matt, Rhode Island. Matty, go ahead, buddy. What's up?
Hey, great to the split in Houston. That was great. Lou, did TK Hernandez, did he play center field with the Dodgers, or was he just in the infield?
He was everywhere. Second base, shortstop, center field, left field. He's kind of just a utility guy for them.
Yeah,
that's how they used him.
I mean, he's just a baller, and I just wanted to comment. I know it resulted in a loss, but in game one, I hadn't seen, like, a player in baseball, like, take over a game like he did, you know, with all the plays he made. It was kind of like, reminded me of Ken Griffey Jr. I know that might be a little bit of a stretch, but, I mean, what he's doing right now is really impressive. And hopefully they can just keep it rolling tonight. Thanks, guys.
You got it. You know what it is? It's like, you know, most everyday players, they're in the big leagues for a reason. And when they're hot, they look like the greatest hitter in the world. And that might be the second week in June. You know what I mean? Or the third week in July or something. For Kike Hernandez, it happens to be the week of the playoffs. Because everything, he's just on everything.
I know.
He's crushing it.
I know. I know, and it's funny. It's curious to see. I don't feel like the Astros, it's only been two games, have really been in a position where they have to, like, I don't know. I feel like they're not really pitching around him.
No.
It's like, okay, now do you respect him? Now do you understand the damage that he's going to do to you? Or is it because nobody's on base that you're willing to, I guess, gamble a little more? And I feel like that's part of it. Like, if you had two men on, I think you would pitch him totally different. But since you don't, I think they're a little bit more aggressive with him, and they're willing to give up a home run or a double because they'll figure out they'll deal with it when they have to.
Yeah, and you're right. They haven't really pitched. I saw something where I think Timmy Hires didn't coach. Slight adjustment, like he's moved on the plate a little bit.
Hernandez?
Kike, yeah, a little bit closer to the plate. He's a pull hitter, you know, so he's hitting breaking balls. He's on the dish, and it's like, okay, will they knock him down? You know, do they do one of those? If Kike was on the other team, we'd have caller after caller saying, you got to knock down Kike. He's too comfortable. But it's where he wants the ball. So, yeah, you can knock him down, but it's not like he's reaching out over the plate. You knock a guy down because he's reaching out over the plate and he's hitting balls the other way, out of the ballpark. He kind of wants you to pitch him in. That's why he's on the dish. That's why he's crushing breaking balls. So he's like, yeah, okay, you want to come on in? I think that's kind of what we're looking for. They might make him feel a little bit uncomfortable. Eric in New Hampshire. You're on with Christian and Lou. By the way, down here at this bullpen kitchen and tap across from Fenway, come on down. People starting to pour in now. Go ahead, Eric.
Okay. I know you had to sneak one in before you put me on. Hey,
I did.
Quick question. If that's fine. Yeah. What E-Rod we getting tonight? Are we getting
good
that
question.
Guy a couple times the last couple years? 3 1/3, 66 pitches? Or are we getting the last guy we saw from his last start? Does he seem to be a little bit indifferent out there and let get 5 2/3 out of him?
Well, I got to drop you
know
on
what?
That one.
You're
an S-bomb, but so I like the passion.
So the last time, so he gave you 5 innings over with 2 runs.
Ideal.
Great.
I mean, it would be perfect.
Great.
I even want 3 or 4.
So my thing is, like, so I hear a lot of it, okay, either you're getting through it's like the ceiling now is 2 times through the order. Which I think is, with this lineup, I mean, I guess it's kind of understandable.
Yeah.
Okay, but the only way to get through multiple innings without going through 2 times through the order, 3 times through the order is you got to get, it's got to be 1, 2, 3. It's got to be, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the only way. So, to me, I always look at the pitch count to see exactly kind of where they are and if they can get, you know, 3 guys out in a row. And almost like allow themselves to maybe go farther into the game without giving up, without getting into through the third time.
I don't know if pitch count really matters anymore. Like, you know, because the guy with 65 pitches, pat him on the ass. Like, to me, it's like where this inning falls at the end of his outing. Let's just say he's going 3 innings and he comes up in the 4th inning and he kind of gets through because the way Dusty Baker's doing his lineup, that last 3 hitters and Altuve. So Tucker's hitting 6th, and then he's going Gurriel, McCormick, Maldonado, Altuve. So it's 4 righties in a row. So, and that's why Sale's last hitter was Tucker. And that's why he brought in Ottavino. Because, you know, Adam Ottavino wasn't – you don't want him facing lefties right now or base dealers and things like that. But those 4 hitters in a row, those 4 righties, you hear this all the time, this pocket that's lined up for Ottavino in, say, the 4th. Or the 5th, wherever E-Rod goes, wherever it might be. And that's how we did it with Chris Sale. 2 2/3, Ottavino for an inning in the 3rd, because it landed on those 4 righties in a row. And Dusty keeps giving that part of the order to Alex. He's going to take advantage of it, whether it's with Ottavino, whether it's with Hauk. Just Hauk can't throw a cement mixer at Altuve.
So you guys are talking about E-Rod and what to expect for tonight. We have some prop bets from DraftKings.
Ooh.
The total outs over under is 13.5. That's just over 4 innings of work. Does he get that?
No.
13.5.
So no.
You under?
I will go under for the simple fact that guys like Pavetta and Hauk are well-rested. I would say no.
Well, well-rested and a quick hook.
3 2/3?
That'd be like, yeah, 13.5 outs would be over 4.
Yeah,
so
I'm
like
saying
four third.
Like 3 2/3, 4.
Well, I guess in the end it just all depends. Like, what does he look like? Does he look strong? I mean, does he look like the game he pitched against Tampa?
Yeah.
Does he walk the first batter? If he walks the first batter,
how about
literally, I'm taking him out right away. That's what happened last time.
Are his first two pitches changeups?
Well, it's...
Because against Tampa, it was fastball up and in, cutter in, fastball up and in, cutter in. Like, establish that part of the plate for the righties before you go to that changeup away. You know, so, but I think it has more to do with where you are in the lineup. See, this is what the American League, there's never been strategy in the American League other than when to pull your starter in the sixth or seventh. The playoffs now with this, like, three-hitter minimum thing, there's strategy everywhere. Like, they're sitting down right now and saying, Adam and Hauk, be ready for 7-8-9-1. I don't know if it's going to come in the third, the fourth, the sixth, the fifth, whatever. But when it does, it's your inning. Well, what if the starter's dealing? I'm not so sure. I think I'm still going to you. You know, Taylor, be ready for the lefty-righty-lefty combo. Three pocket hitters with two lefties at the end of it. Now, that might be Brantley, Bregman, Alvarez. That might be Alvarez, Correa, Tucker, whatever. So now there's strategy involved that, like, when I enjoy following it that way. Do I miss the six or seven Josh Beckett going for 7-8 innings? Yes. But this year, the strategy for me, I kind of like. I like it. Now, a lot of people might not because they think it takes too long and it's too boring. Right, but I think the strategy is kind of back with the three-hitter minimum changes a lot.
So the E-Rod record a win prop bet is plus 350. Is there any chance that E-Rod gets the win and I goes five strong? Gets the win?
No.
No chance.
No way.
What's no?
No.
Is there a no?
No.
I mean, listen, he could go five.
No is minus 525. Yeah. $525 yeah. bucks to win 100.
He could go five. It's just that I think this lineup just grinds you too much. Yeah, they just don't miss.
It's too stressful.
The strikeouts are 3.5 over under, and so are the hits, also 3.5 allowed over under for E-Rod.
God, like, I don't.
I would prefer to kind of look at, you know, Hernandez and see, like, how can he keep this streak going. That's the one that I would. I mean, as far as, well, the other thing is so Schwarber's leading off.
Yes,
I love it when he leads off.
Yes,
personally. One, he is a good percentage of him getting on base. Kiki hitting second actually can drive in some runs.
I do have a prop bet, Christian. Kiki Hernandez to hit a home run and the Red Sox to win is 7-1. That seems pretty good.
So if he hits a home run, they lose, you don't win.
You don't win.
You got to hit both.
Got to get both.
See, when it comes to some of those pitching props, I think I would just take the offense in this game.
Yeah, I don't understand.
You know what I mean? I just would say.
I want the basic stuff.
Under three, yeah. This team doesn't strike out, and E-Rod does not. Yeah, you know, I don't think he's striking out four guys.
What is the over under for runs?
Nine. Total.
Total is nine? Oh, that's
nine.
Over.
That seems like it's a cash
that is,
season.
That is a trap. What is that about?
I would take that. The over is nine? But I would take
nine
that.
No, it's a high number. Not for this team. Maybe the National League. You want to go Dodgers
six and
Braves.
And the Dodgers
sure,
Braves,
I'll do that
and
one.
And Kike to get one hit over under of a 0.5 hits minus 200. So if he gets a hit, you win. But it's minus 200.
So what do I got to do?
Bet 200 to win
20 bucks to win 10.
Hey! That's a gamble.
Let's go.
Let's go to John in the car. John, what's going on, yo, with Lou and Christian?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
You know, it seems like every time we ask the question, what can Kike do next? Like, he does something ridiculous. It's been truly unbelievable. I said months ago, irrationally, that he's the MVP of the team. I think that might be somewhat of a rational conversation at this point. Hey, Lou, I'm just questioning. I understand. Red Sox Nation was like blindly going, hey, we got to put Sale in. He's the ace. He's been great. Well, he hasn't really been great. He hasn't really been the ace at all. And now today we got E-Rod going, who has a history of pitching well in the playoffs. Granted, maybe he hasn't had the best year this year. And everybody's like, oh, I don't know. Like, my expectations are we have someone that knows how to pitch in the playoffs. And Alex is definitely not going to let him go more than three innings or four. Like, I have pretty good faith in them, especially with this offense, the way they've been swinging the bat, coming home with the Green Monster sitting in front of them.
I don't know last Thursday who said Chris Sale was the ace. Nobody said he was the ace.
Nobody said he was the ace. I would say that that discussion ended going into the Yankee. Everybody wanted to throw in the Yankees. Is Alex making a mistake? Everybody wanted Chris Sale to throw that play-in game instead of, you know, what do you call it, Eovaldi. Oh, he's making a mistake. He should have that ball. And it was like, no, guys, I don't know what you're watching. He's not the same guy. But after that Tampa series, nobody wanted him to pitch game one. So I think that whole that game flipped everybody. Nobody wanted to pitch game one. Everybody wanted to go to Eovaldi. But before that wild card game, everybody wanted Sale to throw. Like, I didn't understand any of it. By the way, Kike Hernandez, what he's doing – in his last five games, he's 15 for 25. He's hitting 600. in his last five games with five homers and four doubles. I mean, absolutely. What is the OPS? 1.953. Like, just, I mean, stupid. Like, absolutely stupid. In five games, he's got 15 hits. Like, I don't even know where to go with that thing. Let's go to one more call here. Maddie, before we go to break. Maddie, what's going on, man? Yo, Lou and Christian.
Hey, Lou, quick question. Did you notice in game two, the ball boy was back in the same spot?
Yes, I did.
And so who decides where this guy gets set up?
Well, I mean, the Astros, obviously, it's like, you know, that's the field. That's that. But I don't understand why Major League Baseball wouldn't look at that play and say, hey, why don't you just, right, you know, line up basically where the ball girls here at Fenway Park do on that wall that's kind of facing home plate that jets out to the left field line.
Right.
I don't know.
That's legitimate. That was a legitimate run we lost, and they didn't fix it. And so it made me wonder who decides where they go.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they did it there. And thanks for the call. Yeah, I don't know. Listen, I don't know if that's the reason why you lost. I don't know how the game would have went. All I said was that it's a BS play, and it absolutely is a location for a bat boy. It should never be there. Look, watch the game tonight at Fenway Park. We all know where the ball girls sit. That's where they should be.
I would never do that.
Christian would never do that if he was asked. He would pick up his stool and get his ass out of the way, which is what that kid did, rather than lifting up his right leg. Oh, here it comes, right leg up.
You know what I would do? Like, I would, if I was the Astros, I would find the biggest, fattest, no disrespect to people who are challenged weight-wise, and I would find somebody who couldn't get out of the way. So you would have to sit there and go, well, you know, he didn't get out of the way. Well, he tried. He's not very athletic.
Can we fly in Glenn from Arizona?
Glenn's big old butt over there. Just let him sit there. I couldn't get out of the way.
It was coming so fast.
Skip, how you doing?
Right, this hour of Maloney and Fourier brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations. All right, banged out the Sox there for about an hour. We're going to hit them back in a little bit later in the show. But when we come back, is it another moral victory Monday for the New England Patriots? I just can't do these anymore. I'm done with the moral victory Mondays. We'll take a look at this game. It can't happen. They had a game,
and
a chance to steal this game, and it just didn't happen.
How about a silver lining?
What's your silver lining?
No, let's just do. Since we've worn out moral victories, let's look at this. Let's look at the brighter side. How about that?
All right, let's do that. We're gonna look at the brighter side of things as the Red Sox continue to just to cover the New England Patriots with the way they're playing right now. We're gonna look at the brighter side. We'll do that next on Maloney and Fourier.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.